It's got me going. Look, why Ephesians? We're doing Ephesians. We're doing a series on Ephesians for the next 6 weeks. The gospel is good news. It's good news because it brings transformation. It brings transformation and it brings change. Now, those two words are not always that popular, are they? I mean, I don't like change. I like it when other people change, but I don't like it when I have to change. Don't I, Rue? Yeah. She couldn't possibly say. The gospel is dynamic in that transformation is an essential part of that. Paul in Corinthians says, to Corinthians, he says, "We who contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory." And also says 12:1, we all know that, "Be transformed." He urges us, Paul, "Be transformed through the renewing of your minds." You can't just sit still as a Christian. That's the beauty of being a Christian, is you really don't have an option of sitting still. Because if you do, then the seat you're sitting in will start to get hotter and warmer until you finally have to get up and start doing something. That's how it works. Now, what we're doing is... Oh, it's interesting. I remember when I was first coming to faith and I was down in Dunedin, I went to St. Matthew's Church. I don't know if anyone knows St. Matthew's in Dunedin. A lovely church. I felt immediately home in the Anglican Church. Within about, I think it was 2 years of being at St. Matthew's, I realized I was being taught the same thing over and over and over again. This was in the 80s. And I realized if I want to grow in faith, I needed to leave the church. So I did. I left the church and I went to Africa with Youth with a Mission. And I met my lovely wife, which you know about that story. But I think in those days, if you really want to grow in faith, you need to leave the church and do something. Okay? I don't know if that's why the Wheelers are leaving us. It's interesting because the writer of Hebrews says it was like in that church that I was being fed milk all the time, over and over again. And the writer in Hebrews says, "By this time, you should be teachers, yet you are still in need of someone to teach you the elementary truths of faith. You need milk and not solid food." We've chosen Ephesians to work through because Ephesians is the one letter from Paul that is not addressed to a church with a problem. So in many ways, it's a compliment, guys. Okay? Seriously. Because we are ready to have solid food as a congregation. We are ready to eat solid food, not milk. Okay? Everything is based on the love of God. We know that we worship a loving God. We hear that over and over again in churches. Okay? It goes beyond that. So God is loving. He's accepted you into his family. What does that mean? So, we're looking at Ephesians. And in the six-week course we're looking at, today is the master plan. It's a really long reading. One sentence. Paul loves those long, long sentences. We'll try and break that up for you to understand it a bit. You might need Bibles. If there are some Bibles, do we want to get Bibles? Should we do that? Oh, you got your phone. You can get your phone out. But if you do want a Bible, look, you can use your phone. I won't be offended and think that you're just ignoring me. If you do want a Bible, put up your hand and the lovely Scrivs will bring, and Ruth, the lovely Ruth, will bring one round for you. Because we're going to look through this passage. It's a little bit complicated. As you're doing that, we're looking at the master plan today, and then we're looking at practical ways to fulfill God's purposes as God's people in the church, including our personal relationships. So we're looking at, Rue will be preaching on wives and husbands. I gave her that one. She's good at that. And then I'll be talking about children and parents. And then we're looking at employees and employers. And finally, we're looking at how to take care of ourselves spiritually. And this is going to be important for us as a church moving ahead. So, anyone else need a Bible? Troy needs one down here, guys. It's Ephesians 1, 1 to 14, if you pick that up. Have a look at that. Okay, the letter to the Ephesians, it's often referred to, it's held in very high esteem.
And it's even referred to as the queen of Paul's epistles, his letters. Many hold it as the highest point of theological understanding in the New Testament. All right? Coleridge, the famous poet and philosopher, he thought it was the most divine composition known to man. So it gets a pretty good rap. Now, look, I'm going to prick the bubble a little bit. It actually wasn't a letter, guys, to the Ephesians. The earliest manuscript, it says at the beginning of the letter, it leaves out the word Ephesians. It just says it's to God's holy and faithful people. It's been put in there later, the Ephesians. What this was, it was a letter that actually circulated. They didn't have email, so letters circulated by hand around all those churches in Asia Minor, the ones that are mentioned in Revelation. They were Paul's churches. And he's in prison. We know he's in prison writing this, and he's got time to think about what does all this mean. Now, you can imagine that Paul was a pretty active guy, yeah, pretty active dude. He didn't rest unless he was forced to rest, and he was, because he had a forced lockdown. Yeah, you can relate to that. And he thought about the gospel and Jesus Christ and what that means to his people. So we're going to explore that a little bit. So what does Paul want to say to God's holy people and the faithful in Jesus Christ 1,000 years hence? Well, like any good believer, he starts off with a prayer. But the prayer is loaded with teaching and relevant truths. Look at verse 3. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, pretty straightforward, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, that might sound pretty ordinary, but if you remember, there were a lot of forces around at that time that thought the Gentiles, because this letter is to the Gentiles, deserved no, it could not be blessed. A single blessing. But here is Paul saying all blessings are captured for you. So that is a message for us. All of those blessings are given and captured for us by Christ. Now it goes on the next verse, verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. To be holy and blameless. Did you know that simply because you believe and follow Jesus Christ, when God looks upon you, he sees a small Jesus? And guys, I want to walk away from the... Guys, that was a really important thing for me to take hold of as a young Christian, because I struggled. It's blimming hard. It's hard to live in a world where basically you're encouraged to just go for what you want and what you desire. And to live a life that is denying of those desires within yourself. And when you're young, it's pretty tough. So it was really useful for me when I stuffed up, and I did, I stuffed up a lot, and I still do stuff up, and we all do. I could think of God looking upon me and seeing a little Jesus. And that's C.S. Lewis. So whenever you think, oh my goodness, God doesn't love me, I've stuffed up again, come before him and know that Jesus is interceding for you, all right? He's covered you in his blood, of his sacrifice, eternally. I'm going to put this mic back now. And around, as you probably know. So, we are holy and blameless. Goes on verse 5. In love, he predestined us for adoption. Now, adoption in Roman times was major. It was a major, major thing. It wasn't just you can take him or take her. All right? They used to present, usually it was the eldest son, they would present to the person who was adopting them 3 times, and they'd bring them back. And then the 3rd time, they would accept them into the family as a son. or a daughter. So adoption was a serious thing. And when they were adopted in a family, you were family. You were treated as a son or a daughter. There was no doubt whatsoever that they belonged to the adopted father. And there's no doubt whatsoever that these Gentiles belonged to their adopted father. As we belong to our adopted father. And sometimes, guys, we don't always act like we belong. Do we? We don't always act like we belong to a loving heavenly father. We need to remind ourselves that he is our, and I know some of us struggle with our earthly father figures. But God is loving and faithful and always there for us. We are his children. And just because I know if my children act badly, I don't disown them, they're still my children. Lucky them. So we are undeniably part of God's family. Now, what are the benefits? Paul goes on for the benefits. He's doing this all in one sentence. What are the benefits of belonging to that family? There are four benefits. First one is, in him we have redemption. A rescue from something that we could never rescue ourselves from. In those days, it was sin. They understood sin in the Middle East because their lives were much more vulnerable than ours. They wanted to reach God. If you've been to Jerusalem, everyone's mindful of who this God is and how we can reach this God. And it's the sin in us that stopped us coming before this God. They accepted sin as their own frailties and weakness. We don't have that problem so much today. We don't like that word sin. The world doesn't like that word sin. It's a little bit, makes me feel bad. If anything, we're overconfident in our own abilities in this day and age. We're overconfident. And that in itself is a weakness. And we've seen that with the pandemic. Something as tiny as a little virus, say, that you can't even see, can wreak such havoc amongst humankind. We are vulnerable, and that is the truth. That is the truth. So we go on. We have forgiveness. So we have forgiveness for our shortcomings. We've spoken about that. And to be free from our shortcomings and our shame and our guilt should never be underestimated. And verse 8, we have all wisdom and understanding. Wisdom, the Greek for wisdom is Sophia, the Greek's answer to eternal problems of life and death. Sophia. The other word, understanding, is phronesis, an understanding of practical knowledge of human affairs. Knowing when things should be avoided or when things should be sought after, done or not done. It goes beyond discerning good and evil. It's a matter of practical choices we make in our lives. It's a gift that God gives to us. We had a friend, I worked for the Bible Society in Australia when I was 26. And we toured for a year with a theatre company there. And I remember talking to the director of Sydney, New South Wales Bible Society, and he said he had a young friend who's about 19, and he was really, really wise, incredibly wise, making really good decisions in his life. And he said to him, how did you get so wise at such a young age? He said, I asked God. Isn't that mind-blowing? I just asked God to make me wise. And he did. God answered those prayers and made this young man a wise young man. So wisdom is something, is a gift to us that God gives to us. If we ask him, we can take hold of that. And we move on. And this is the key passage, verse 9. He, God, has made known to us the mystery of his will. This is the kicker. according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when their time's rich fulfillment, to bring unity, and this is the key line, to bring unity to all things in heaven and earth under Christ. That was what Paul had revealed to him in prison, was the cosmic significance of what Jesus had done, but also the end game of the gospel, which is to bring all things in unity in heaven and earth under Christ. What was once covered is now revealed through the Messiah himself, the unlocking of the mystery of God's purposes, which people have wanted to know for years and years and years. God makes that available to us as his children. The long game. All things in heaven and earth will come under Christ's headship. And at the end of the age, everything will be seen to add up to Christ. One day, and this is one of my favorite scriptures, one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Wow. Wow. And here we are, a little church that feels sidelined by a secular culture, worshipping a God who one day will bring everything underneath Christ's feet. Isn't that mind-boggling? We've got no need to be afraid. In nature, as it is without Christ, there is division. And we see that all the time. Just pick up a paper. There is disharmony. Human dominion also is broken. The social bonds that should exist between humankind and nature are broken. We see that. The damage we've done to the environment. Between men and women is broken. Between classes, the rich and the poor, it is broken. Between nations, it is broken. Look at America. Between ideologies and between Gentile and Jew at the time of this writing. So the world without Christ, despite what the secularists claim, is disjointed and fragmented. And what is true of the world is also true for us. Many of us are divided within ourselves, restless and anxious, struggling with our own weaknesses and fears and desires, which can overwhelm us. Christ comes to reconcile and bring the world and humankind back to God, where we belong. And the church, we have a role in that. We are invited to take part in this reconciliation, this cosmic reconciliation. The Wheelers going to PNG is part of that. The Alpha that we love to hold here is part of that. The Fish and Chip Evening, which is so beautifully organized by Kate and supported by a number of you out there. Thank you so much. That was a fantastic evening of reaching into our community. The Parish Dinner, bring your non-Christian friends. Smash, EC, the new build. It's all part of that bigger picture. I'm going to show a video, if we can bring it up. This is a testimony of a guy from Alpha. And he's quite a character. He's a lovely man. But
he's helped me all the way through it. You know, dysfunctional parents, alcoholics. Thrown out when I was 15 through an argument with my father. Moved into a squat with a gang. Got in trouble with the police. Ended up with a prison sentence. Came out of there, joined the army at 21. I have two marriages, two divorces, almost alcoholic, from being bullied at school to joining the army boxing team and being a bully in a uniform. My mother died. I hadn't seen my mum since I was a kid. She got ill. She had cancer. My mum and dad were both heavy smokers and heavy drinkers. A long story short, again, she got put into hospital. I had about 10 days with her and she died. She had a massive sort of tumour. And just fell asleep in my arm. And that was a catalyst for me, really, to start thinking about stuff. And that set me on a journey, and then shortly after that, a friend of mine said, you've got lots of questions, you should probably try an Alpha course. You know, 16 years in the army. I've jumped out of airplanes, I've done rifle courses, I've done military, I've done courses on everything. I'll do a course on God. And I remember just sitting there listening to these talks, and I thought, do you know what? I've never heard any of this stuff. It was all completely new to me. And I prayed. And my prayer was, if you're up there and all this stuff is true, and you can make me a better man, you can make me a better character, you know, you could make me hopefully a faithful husband, a good father, someone who people would like, then you know what, let's go for it. And then things started to change. Really weird stuff was going through my head. You know, I thought, I've lived with my girlfriend 8 years. Maybe we should get married. We talked about it and we got married. Prayed and got my son back in my life, who left when he was 3. He's now 36 and living with us. And now I've got a 18-year-old daughter who's gorgeous. I mean, if you'd have told me, you know, a few years ago that I would be a vicar in the Church of England, I'd have said, you're completely crazy. It was the furthest thing from my, it wasn't even in my mind. I still have to pinch myself at times. So I'm working with people now who really I've been around most of my life. A lot of people I can relate to. I work with the homeless, those affected with mental health issues, those in prison, those coming out of prison through a charity called Caring for Ex-Offenders. And I was presented with an MBE for me, which I think is really exciting, for working with ex-offenders. And to be honoured like that is extraordinary. And it's what God says, I have a good and perfect plan for your life. Plan to prosper you and not to harm you. Plan to give you hope and a future. And he says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And that for me...
Isn't that great? There's another story this chap tells about his relationship with his father, which is incredibly moving. And poignant, and speaks so much of God's character. His dad's not a Christian and was quite a difficult man. But anyway, if you want to hear more about that, then come to Alpha. So God brings to us, as his adopted children, he brings redemption, he brings forgiveness, he brings wisdom, he gives us knowledge of the end game. And it says, if you got your Bibles there, it says verse 13, and you also were included in Christ. He's speaking to the Gentiles. When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Paul's a big believer in the Holy Spirit because of his conversion. The Holy Spirit is that seal of approval that says to you and to others, you are a child of God. And this Holy Spirit is a deposit, a guarantee, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. So that unity that is part of God's vision, everything being in harmony underneath Christ's feet, it starts here. It started here. So he's saying, you Gentiles are one of us. You get the gist? That's what Paul's saying. You're one of us. There's no division. And there are other people saying, no, they're not. And you'll hear that. There are people who love to divide. God is not a God of division. He's a God of unity and harmony. Remember that when we look at the news. Let's pray. I'm going to pray for you. If the band could come up. I'm going to pray Paul's prayer, because I think Paul's prayer is absolutely perfect. I ask that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom, each and every one of you, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. And I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you and the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparably great power for us who believe. And they all said, Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart.